Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Kroger. Fresh for everyone.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
As I begin the show live this morning, just after 10 a.m., it comes in that another sporting event has now been impacted by the coronavirus. The Masters has now been postponed. The PGA Tour had already postponed its events up into the month of April, right essentially before the Masters supposed to take place. The Masters obviously governed by a different organization. It's governed by Augusta National. They have now decided to postpone their event too. And that seems to really fit into just the storyline that we've kind of been all kind of caught up in over the last couple of days, that sports essentially, and I mean all of them, have essentially disappeared, whether it be, you know, NCAA tournament or NBA or whatever you care about. It's all essentially gone. And for now, that includes UGA athletics for the spring sports and even spring football and potentially G-Day as well. More on that in a moment. This is just kind of where we are right now. Now, the question comes up then, well, how does that impact what's going to happen here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger? BA, how does that impact what you're going to talk to people about each and every day? And a lot of people kind of say this, you know, almost kind of a joking tone of, what are you guys going to discuss tomorrow? And here's the thing that I'm going to tell you. First of all, I am not the least bit worried about there being plenty of things to talk about. I think we're going to have a good time. I think having a good time is important. We're not going to stop laughing. We're not going to stop, you know, taking the occasional jab at one of UGA's rivals. We're not going to stop doing stuff like that. We're going to be a diversion and a distraction. That's always kind of been our job. We know that ultimately in the grand scheme of things, the stuff we talk about around here is not necessarily all that important. We get all of that. We exist to be that. What was it? The famous person once said, the toy department of life. We exist to kind of be that toy department, that kind of thing of, this isn't the real world. This is the fun stuff. And I get a chance to present that to all of you each and every day. And then beyond that, I do think that what we do around here, people like me who do this kind of stuff for a living, I think we also serve another purpose from time to time there as well. I think mindsets in life are really important. I think ultimately your attitude about things determines your success far more than your circumstances. And hopefully around here, we kind of present, at least I hope this is the case. Maybe if it's not, we need to work a little harder. I hope, though, that what you can say about the attitude, the mindset with which we approach life, the mindset with which we approach the content that we put together on a show like this, is that we do look for the positive. Because when you can see the positive, when you can see the silver lining, when you can see the good news, even when sometimes things, you know, seem like they're not great, when you can see the good news, I think you then train your brain to start noticing good news other places. And we're in a scenario right now where getting good at noticing good news is something we're all going to really need over the next few days. So with that in mind, let me kind of begin this way. At Augusta National in the Masters, one of the, sporting events that I just crave this time of year. Can't wait to get ready for that one, whether, you know, attending in person on the grounds, which many of you have been lucky enough to get a chance to do, watching on TV. At least this April, we're not going to be doing that. And that kind of factors into some of the stuff going on with Georgia football. So let's start this way. I thought my friends, my radio partners over at Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, had a terrific interview this morning with Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put a link to their full interview when I post the show this afternoon at the worldfamousdognation.com. Many of you watch us on video, listen to us on podcast, whatever else. You don't interact with the show post at the website, but today would be a good day to visit our post so that you can get a link to the Greg McGarrity interview that the folks at 960 The Ref did. We'll also be on the radio there this afternoon as well. And so if you're a 960 The Ref listener, you know, you can go to your own website, 960theref.com, and you can hear the full McGarrity interview. There was some news coming out of that interview that, much the same way we just found out about Augusta National a couple of moments ago, Georgia spring practice also has the pause button pushed on it for right now. Here is the host, one of them anyway, David Johnston, interacting with Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity on that subject.
Spring football practice was scheduled to start next week. It will not start next week, right?
That is correct. All students are strongly encouraged not to return to campus. Yeah. It's probably not a good look, and anyway, we want to follow the protocol and do the right thing because, you know, we have a lot of parents out there that are concerned. We have a lot of foreign student athletes in our program that are also concerned. So, you know, campus is not closing down because some of these young people have nowhere to go. So I'm sure we'll have some of our student athletes on campus because they've either been here training and they have nowhere to go, especially our foreign student athletes because they really can't travel.
First of all, can you imagine for a moment being a parent of a UGA student athlete who, for whatever reason, is not in a situation where he or she can travel back to their either home state or home country or whatever else? Imagine the anxiety. I mean, I think a lot of families right now have a good bit of anxiety as it is, and yet that's for families who are all under the same roof together. Imagine the feeling of separation. Now, we have a lot of parents of UGA athletes that watch and listen to our show. I'm going to tell you right now that if your student is still there in Athens, they're going to be well taken care of. And of course, you all are all very well aware of that and know all of that. But still, that separation creates a little bit of anxiety, and it's interesting, I think, important to hear McGarity speak about that there. But for now, Georgia spring practice is going to be put on hold. Just given the climate and the atmosphere that exists around all of this, and McGarity also kind of touched on this a moment ago, I don't know how you could do anything else but that for right now. I think you're in a situation where that has to be the case. For those of us that love football, it's obviously another piece of kind of disappointing news in all of this. But for now, Georgia spring practice is put on hold. And that also leads to the future of G-Day, which for right now, we don't know a ton about either. McGarity also talked about that this morning on 960 The Ref.
Yeah, I think what we'll do, since the university has this two-week period of time of rest, I'm sure there'll be plans moving forward, and you know, who knows what the landscape is going to be in 2 weeks, 4 weeks. We just don't know, but you know, we're going to do our best to communicate as best we can information that's accurate. It may not be as timely as people would want it, but it's really important to get the correct information out and get it right the first time. Everybody needs to exercise patience and knowing that we're doing the best we can to maintain some type of normal life, certainly understanding the health concerns that we all face.
I think what McGarity says there is really important. And if you're only like halfway listening right now, everything he sort of just spoke goes in one ear and out the other. But I want you to focus in on that for a moment. Maybe even if you're listening to the podcast, maybe even rewind back and listen to it again. Because what McGarity says is, we're going to do everything we can to keep life as normal as possible. And then when we need to, we're going to cancel things. And to me, that's the most appropriate attitude to have with all of this. Right now, it is just untenable to begin Georgia spring practice on Tuesday. Therefore, here we are a couple of days before that announcement essentially made. April the 18th, G-Day, it could be very likely that it's impossible to play that game, impossible to have that event. It's probably the better way to say it. Impossible to have that event on April the 18th. But there's no reason to cancel it now. Let's let things play out. Let's see what the world looks like again after next week and at the end of the month and everything else. Let's just sort of see what the world looks like in a couple of weeks and we'll have a better idea. I've seen some sports like roundly criticized for being slow to cancel, even for events that eventually got canceled. Slow to postpone, even for events that eventually got postponed. You know, I don't think we, you know, have to be in any kind of rush to make any kind of decisions. Ultimately, the right decision, I think, in these cases are going to be made, but there doesn't have to be any kind of hurry on this right now. And I think what McGarity says on that point is a good one. It could very well be that come April the 18th, there's just no way that G-Day can be played. But if that's the scenario that exists in Athens and around the world next month, then let's wait till next month to kind of get there. And I think McGarity is smart to say that the way that he did. Also, we have kind of late breaking coming in here on this. A couple of other kind of football-centric things that kind of go along with this have also been postponed as well. The coaching clinic, which is a thing that a lot of high school coaches around the South and around Georgia look forward to each and every year, that is also now postponed, I guess, indefinitely for the moment. And the Georgia Pro Day, which was slated to begin, slated to take place on Wednesday, that's also been postponed too. And let me give you one thing to think about on Pro Day right now. There are a lot of guys on the Georgia roster who didn't go to the NFL scouting combine. And there are a lot of guys on the Georgia roster who are hoping to play in the NFL who might not get drafted in one of the, you know, seven rounds of the NFL draft. But we see every year non-drafted players end up being on active rosters in the NFL. And one of the ways in which those guys who are kind of below that combine threshold, one of the ways they make a name for themselves is during the pro day process. And obviously the game film speaks more so than anything else, but the pro day is that chance to kind of make face-to-face contact with the NFL teams that might sign them as undrafted free agents or take a late flyer on them late in the NFL draft. There is a real-world implication for a lot of football players when these pro days don't take place. I understand why they're not taking place. It's kind of the only decision that can be made, you know, right now. But I do hate it for a lot of these guys who are looking at that pro day as their chance to shine. It not taking place will impact them. Ultimately, will the NFL still have 53 guys on rosters next year and everything like that? Yeah, they'll figure out a way to make that work. But, man, for a lot of the players themselves, some of them Georgia players even, who I know had that pro day circled as a time to shine, the fact that right now the, you know, just the health crisis that our country is dealing with prohibits this from taking place, I hate that for them. Now, with all of that said, as I said a moment ago, you know, I still think in the midst of all of this bad news, one cancellation after another, there is still some silver lining starting to emerge. There is still a little bit of a glimmer that we may have good news here coming sometime soon. I want to talk to you about that, but let me go ahead and introduce the show, and then we'll get to more of Greg McGarity here in a moment. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Kroger, and it's great to have you with us, and I do mean that. I know a lot of you got a lot going on, and a lot of you got a lot of uncertainty right now with, you know, you're either working from home, or you may find yourself in a career situation where, you know, work is halted for the moment. We have you on our minds and our prayers. We just appreciate you being with us on the program today, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, on live at video at noon, or I should say live at video at 10 a.m., on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, or as a podcast, wherever you find them, Apple, Spotify, Google, the worldfamousdognation.com. Just really glad to have you with us. And huge thanks to our friends at Kroger for being making all this possible, and huge thanks to our friends at Kroger who's had, you know, the shelves all stocked over the course of the last couple of days, getting loaded up with, if you're going to be indoors for a few days here, nice to be able to have plenty of food to eat and plenty of, you know, beverages and things like that. Kroger's taking care of us on that. Let me also tell you something else that Kroger's got going on right now. How about an 8-piece fried or baked chicken? Busy nights, obviously a lot of that going on. A lot of folks packed in the house right now. Well, you can have some good food and feast on it while you're there with an 8-piece fried or baked chicken dinner ready to go from Kroger. Listen to this great deal. It's just $5 when you use your Kroger card. You can stop by the Kroger Deli to pick that up. Just $5, the 8-piece chicken, when you use your Kroger card. Of course, great to have Kroger as a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. We're going to get Jeff Sintel here coming up in just a moment. We'll get ready to go around the doghouse with him before we do that. And on the subject of some good news. So I love something else that McGarity said on 960 today, because 960 The Ref, our radio home in Athens, because the NCAA came out with this sweeping announcement yesterday that not only is the NCAA basketball tournament canceled, but all NCAA championships for the rest of the year have been canceled. That means the men's and women's College World Series in June, the NCAA is not hosting that this year. The other spring sports that so many of us love and pay attention to and really have made part of kind of this fun time of year. It's, you know, from a total number of sports being involved standpoint, this is the busiest time of year. They're not going to happen. However, if you listen to McGarity closely, and I don't want to read too much into this, it certainly seems like that the cancellation of these NCAA events does not necessarily mean that those sports are never going to play again and those seniors who are a part of this are never going to put that uniform on again. Listen to McGarity on the subject of whether or not the NCAA championship cancellations means the sports themselves will not be played for the rest of the year. Here's Greg McGarity again.
You know, we had a marker earlier of making another decision by March 30th, but obviously we have not met as a group since the NCAA halted all championships. So how will that affect things? You know, we just are going to get on the phone today and talk through those things and see if there's any way, you know, just see what our options are. But we know that NCAA championship play as we know it is over. And I'm sure that Commissioner Sankey will huddle with the other commissioners to also try to have some consistency there, because there's so many things at play as far as recruiting and spring practice. There are just so many things on the table that will need to be discussed. And we're hoping to have some type of consistency in all these measures as we move forward.
I mean, listen, you got to find good news where you can find it. And the fact that McGarity and Sankey and the sort of powers that be within college conferences and athletic programs, the fact that they're still looking for an alternative to get some of these sports on the field again, at least that's the way that I take those words from McGarity there, doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. Logistically, it may prove to be impossible. We don't even know how the health part of all of this is going to play out over the next few weeks. But the fact that people are still trying to get sports back on the field again as soon as possible, and maybe even looking for a unique way to compete for something, kind of, I don't know if it's at the Power 5 level alone, kind of excluding the NCAA and stuff like that. Honestly, I take that as some really good news. And I kind of feel the same way about, you know, Georgia football as well. You know, I've been reading a lot about UGA football here over the last day or so. And, you know, the things that I was excited about and looking forward to when it comes to this spring practice, even if it's delayed, once the Dogs are back on the field again, once those helmets are on, chin straps are buckled, pads are on, the stuff that we were all excited about, it's going to be just as exciting. We're just going to have to wait a little longer for it. But Georgia football and college sports, they've always proven to be worth the wait in the past, and I don't think that's going to be any different this time as well. Really good stuff from our friends at 960 The Ref when it comes to Greg McGarry. We'll actually hear a little bit more of that on today's show coming up in terms of just the future of these, you know, the Diamond Dogs are in the midst of a great season, the Georgia softball team, Georgia tennis, you know, these spring sports for Georgia are really, really good for these seniors. Does this necessarily mean that their careers at Georgia are done? Is there anything that can be done for them? McGarry will talk about that from the 960 The Ref interview a little bit later on today's show. For now, though, here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger, do want to get ready to talk about how all of this impacts UGA recruiting and when we might see some Georgia recruiting activity again. We'll try to cover those bases as we get ready to welcome in Jeff Sintel, our Dog Nation recruiting insider. He has still been all over the recruiting beat, talking to guys and figuring out what's going on with that. So we'll talk to Jeff about all of that and so much more. And it's great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, we'll say hello to Jeff Sintel here, our Dog Nation recruiting insider. The recruiting road as of late, the recruiting trail, not exactly super busy these days, but that doesn't mean that won't happen again sometime soon. You know, Jeff, I'll say good morning to you, and of course, thanks for being with us on this crazy, crazy time, certainly the craziest time we've had since I've been doing Dog Nation Daily. You know, I guess, what do you make of all this right now? And, you know, how much do you think that the current atmosphere created by the health concern of the coronavirus, you know, how much of that do you see impacting Georgia recruiting right now?
There's a lot of ways to look at this, Brandon. First of all, I mean, I don't know how it feels like to you, man, but like every time I look at my phone, it's something depressing or it's something like, oh, that was a big thing to look forward to during the spring. And I certainly get it. And, you know, everybody's wrote that column yesterday about how sports are a diversion and that's what we need to take us away from our regular lives. And, you know, that's true at all. And there's a greater good at work here. But there are going to be some implications to your question. And I think for me the biggest is, you know, pertaining to Georgia recruiting. I think it's going to be a lot of young men that were going to make their decision in March and April are now not going to be able to make the trips to be able to cement their decisions in March and April. I've spoken to a lot of guys, and it feels like, you know, they're just going to have to slow down their roll a little bit, slow down their timeline, or they can just go ahead and make a commitment to a school now that where they know they have a spot at. And that's the way to look at it. But a couple things I don't think people are thinking about, Brandon, is I'm really looking at the month of May, because that's a little bit out where there's some senses, will our world kind of spin back normally right now by May? But May's the time when Georgia's coaches get out, all the SEC coaches and college football coaches get out, and they start looking at spring practices, and they start comparing junior film, senior, you know, early development, late, you know, winter term of their junior year. They want to see how their bodies are changing and what they look like during their junior spring practices to go along with that piece of junior film. And I think that's always important for a lot of guys. That's how guys fall, and that's how guys rise up forwards, especially along the lines of scrimmage. And that's one thing that when I'm looking really closely at, I wonder, like, how that's going to affect the evaluations for a lot of guys. But, Brandon, I'll share this. There's a young man I'm going to write about this weekend that he's been told, you know, he lives in a state of emergency. He's been told if he leaves the school district for travel, then he has to quarantine himself for 14 days before he can return to school.
Wow, yeah, it's a very odd scenario, right?
Yeah, basically, you know, if you travel outside the school zone, then when you want to reacclimate yourself to school, you have to wait 14 days and not show any symptoms. Now, a lot of people will hear that are in the education field, and they'll go, well, online classes are important now. Distance learning is how a lot of this stuff will get done. But, you know, for a lot of these guys that, you know, I think of a guy like Evan Pryor as well, he wanted to take three big visits. He wanted to visit Georgia, Ohio State, and North Carolina in the month of March. Those were unofficials, which would allow him to see what he needs to see and feel what he needs to feel to make his decision in mid-April. And now that's just not going to happen, and that's not going to be able to do that. And I want to say this as my final kind of thought on this matter pertaining to your certain topic here, is, you know, if the worst thing that happens out of this is if a highly valued college recruit has to make his decision in June or July rather than in April or May, I think all of us should be fine with that.
I think that's probably true. And to kind of keep this within the boundaries of our normal conversation for a moment, Jeff, the player that comes to mind for me is Ja'Marr Chase. I know you remember his recruitment. He was supposed to make an announcement at one point on the NFL Network. He was going to choose between TCU and some other school that I don't even remember, but it was not LSU. And for some reason, the NFL Network, I may be misremembering part of this story, but it's generally correct. The NFL Network had to postpone the announcement for whatever reason. And ultimately, the decision that Chase was going to make on that day, he ended up not making and ended up choosing LSU instead. And he won the Biletnikoff Award last year for playing for the Tigers. So if we want to take this as a football story for a moment, the way in which the recruiting world has had the pause button pushed on it for a moment, it is going to eventually change the decisions that some players make, right? We may never find this out, and it may not necessarily impact Georgia, but somebody's going to end up at a different school because they didn't get to follow the visit plan they had scheduled for March and likely into April. Someone's decision is going to be impacted by this, right?
Yeah, and that, you know, and Brendan, I actually think that those Florida Gators were in the mix for that decision there as
okay.
well.
Okay,
as you might pain you to hear that.
Yeah, maybe that's the reason why I forgot that.
Here's what, and this is a fellow media member brought this up, and this is one of those that, you know, aren't one of those, you know, young bucks on the scene in the under 30 crowd, but they have, you know, real lives, families, and their circles. They have families whose kids are in college. And for a minute, I'm sure this will give some pause to families that wonder about sending their young person across the country in a situation like this, because it's going to be harder to get to your kids in a moment like this. And for instance, if schools on spring break, and like Georgia right now, they're on extended spring breaks, and you live off campus, that makes it okay. But if you were living on campus, that's certainly going to add some intrigue to sending your loved one across the country to go play college football and to go study and to pursue their higher education. So there's a lot of things that makes it think about. I think there's going to be a couple of guys that just decide, maybe, I don't know if this is a sign is the way to say that, but it maybe just show them that they're going to narrow their search, they're going to stick with what's comfortable, and maybe a key visit that would unlock a certain school and a certain feeling with other guys there as well on the key visit. Maybe that never materializes in their recruiting journey, and maybe they end up with a totally different outcome. Everybody's asked me a lot of questions on the Dog Nation forum about G-Day. They've wanted to know about G-Day. All I can say is this. DeAndre Swift, Mark Webb, Clay Webb, Keely Ringo, Mikhail Sherman, Kendall Milton last year. Man, they were at G-Day the last few years,
yeah.
And they saw how Georgia was different, how Georgia's G-Days kind of looked like a non-conference game for other Power 5 schools they were considering in September, and how people showed up for a glorified spring practice scrimmage, and the fans knew their name, they knew who they were, they felt like rock stars walking across the campus. The ways that Georgia sells itself different, and maybe almost some sort of mythical or a little bit more pageantry than other Power 5s and top 10 schools. The way Georgia differentiates itself in its brand from a lot of these other schools is what happens during spring practice and also during G-Day.
Yeah.
And if G-Day is a casualty this year, that's another thing. I'm not going to say Georgia won't recruit as well as they always do, because that would be ludicrous to say that they won't. But I would think that the process for Georgia would look a lot different with the 2021 class.
Yeah, over the years, Jeff, you've done a really good job of reporting on just how influential G-Day was to a lot of players, especially with the huge crowds that Georgia has kind of drawn over the course of that time. However, with that said, admittedly, if I'm doing Buckeye Nation Daily or Wolverine Nation Daily, if I'm doing a Big Ten-centric show on a day like this, I'm probably having a different conversation, because my understanding is, maybe you can correct me on this, it's really the schools out of the South that pushed hardest for spring official visits and things like that for a number of reasons. I think they wanted to be able to host guys during a warm weather time of the year. I think they wanted to be able to host guys before late in the process, when maybe their decision was already close to having been made, and geographically they were visiting some of the schools closer to where they live, which is going to be a Sun Belt type school like what the SEC kind of has. So if we want to keep this as just a strictly sports story for a moment and talk about how this all impacts recruiting, you know, for those schools kind of outside the South, obviously the preponderance of elite players, there's a way this hits them a little harder in terms of if the recruiting calendar is completely upended, if you're one of those Big Ten schools trying to get guys on campus, this is when you're going to want to do it. They're probably going to feel the effects of that, right?
Yeah, and it's also kind of, Brandon, to kind of drill down deep on your point, I think what's going to happen here is it's going to force a school like Ohio State to look at its recruiting calendar a lot differently. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm going to use Ohio State because they're a brand. They're an incredible program. They've got incredible resources. They've had marvelous success on the field. And I fully believe they're going to meet up with Georgia in a big ball game over the next 2 or 3 years with something major at stake. Well, Ohio State doesn't do the big junior days in January that other schools do. They want to wait until like March and April. Maybe their weather's a little bit better there as well, to show off their campus and show off their school. And meanwhile, schools like Georgia are hosting multiple junior days in January. The same goes for Clemson. The same goes for Alabama as well. And those are the schools that Ohio State is going head-to-head with. And when those young men get the exposure to those other schools, and let's face it, these schools are all going to sound and smell like winners when you come out of the, you know, important key unofficial and official visits for the top guys. I think that's an area where Ohio State has fallen behind a lot of the national elite right there. So maybe in the years to come, they'll sit there and go, this is a good example for us to realize that we need to be doing more in January, and we just can't play catch up in March and April like we used to. Something to consider there as well is just all the schools that's really started the lead. Michigan started the lead. Ohio State followed right after that. That sort of just started ringing the bell a little bit about this was an urgent problem. You saw Notre Dame also quickly follow suit. You know, sooner or later, the SEC did roll around. But, man, you know, it's like right before we got on your show, Brandon, I look on my phone and I noticed the tweet from Augusta National Golf Club, and the Masters gets postponed. So,
yeah.
You know, in some ways, we're definitely focusing on our audience and tending to our brand by discussing these recruiting implications and everything, and Georgia football-centric implications. But, man, when you see the NBA, when you see these Italian soccer leagues that haven't closed down since World War II, when you see these things happening globally, it makes you understand why all this is taking place.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important for us to find good news where it exists, and I kind of talked about that before you joined us. You know, Greg McGarrity was on our radio partner, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, this morning, and certainly when you hear his words, and obviously this is, you know, a long way away from being done, and it may prove to be an impossibility, but for, like, the sweeping, you know, cancellation the NCAA brought about yesterday, I don't mind telling you, I think it's ridiculous that the College World Series, both men's and women's, has already been canceled. Doesn't mean I think it should be played. I don't know what the world looks like in June, but I think canceling it right now for something that's not slated to take place until, you know, quite some time from now, I think that's, you know, a bad decision on the part of the NCAA. I'd love to know more about what ultimately went into the decision to make that choice right now. But to hear McGarrity say, hey, you know, we're going to look at our options, and certainly leaving the door open that some of these spring sports in some form or fashion may still be played, Jeff, that's an example of what I think we need more of, and what I think over the next couple of days we will get more of, which is a little bit of good news and a little bit of effort to return to normalcy when it's smart to do so. I actually took some comfort in what McGarity had to say today, even though that it also included an announcement that spring practice is postponed. But as I told our audience before you got here, the stuff that we were excited about when it comes to Georgia football is going to be just as exciting when these helmets finally do get put on. And the fact that people who love sports, who are in charge of our sports leagues, are seemingly trying to figure out a way to get back on playing surfaces again as soon as possible. Jeff, that's the optimism that we need right now, and I'm glad to see that it kind of coming. And if the SEC is leading the way on that, then all the better.
Yeah, there's some competitive issues that come to mind here with a lot of that about schools that have already gotten a little bit of spring practice in and schools that haven't. I think these players, and I know there'll be some pearl clutching about this, but these players stay in such good shape year-round. They have voluntary off-season workouts where they're in the facilities on their own, doing 7-on-7 contests, drilling against one another, just honing their heads. It's really a year-round thing. And as long as a lot of your competitors are not going through spring practices and full games, I don't know if the competitive edge is being widened by those that do and those that do not. I don't know. Maybe some happy news, Brandon, comes out of this when it's time for picture day in August. Maybe Kirby Smart and the Georgia staff give the people 2 hours instead of 1 hour on the clock in the scoreboard. And, you know, of course I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek there, just to, you know, inside a smile a little bit. But you look at all this stuff, and, you know, my kids ask me this all the time, Brandon. They said, hey, Dad, now when has this happened before? When can I Google this? When can things go on? And, you know, I've went through some things in my media career when I was in Alabama. I had to deal with swine flu. I had to deal with postponement of major athletic events, especially public gatherings in that area. When I was in Virginia, I was around the D.C. sniper as a Cub reporter, and athletic events were being watched closely. People were being cautioned to, you know, hide behind their cars when pumping gas. But when you see this happening nationally with all these major facets of life, it does give us all pause, and I guess it should.
So on a much, much lighter note here, because I think that's probably the role we're supposed to fill, here's an idea that I have, and I'm glad we have a camera on video kind of up close on me right now. I think I'm going to grow a beard during all of this. While we're kind of quarantined and kind of, you know, very different kind of athletic calendar right now, I think I may take this time to grow some facial hair. I've never done that before, but I think for our video audience each and every day, I may kind of keep the unshaven look going. It just sort of seems appropriate right now not to grab the razor during this time. How you feel about that? You want to join me in growing a little facial hair? Like the NHL has their playoff beards, like whatever the exact opposite of that is, while there's no games being played, maybe a little facial hair growth. I know a lot of people do like the No Shave November thing, things like that. Maybe this is kind of our no sports, no shave thing. I don't know. How do you feel about that?
Well, first of all, Brandon, a couple of things readily come to mind. One, I'm sure we have some talented graphic artists. I know we have talented graphic artists in our Dog Nation community. I'd love to see the early mocks on what your beard would look like. I'd also caution you that you better make sure Mrs. Adams is cool with that beard look, as well as your children.
Oh, no, they don't want me to. No, they don't. I mean, I told them last night I was thinking about doing this, and they said, why? Like, Gina essentially shook her head and said no. But I just sort of feel like, I don't know, I sort of feel like we could do it. Here are the two reasons why I would stop doing this. One, if it comes in too gray, I got to shave it. I can't be looking all gray all the time. And second is, I've never grown facial hair, so I'm not quite sure if it's going to, like, all grow in even the way that it's supposed to. If this thing, you know, kind of grows like grass underneath the tree, you know, if it's not coming in all flush and thick the way it's supposed to, then I got to give up the ghost on that there as well. But I just think that, you know, I think it'd give us something good to pay attention to, or just sort of fun to do. I think I may give this a try, even though my family's not exactly on board with this right now.
So Brandon, brother, I'm going to say this with definitely a big smile on my face, but I'm going to say, just pump the brakes a little bit, brother. If you're going to be going without the Masters, you're going to be going without the Atlanta Braves, you're going to be going without spring football and maybe bread and milk at your local Kroger.
I think I know where you're going with this.
You might want to make sure that Mrs. Adams is really cool with this. Otherwise, sir, maybe this is, you know, the great pitchman that you are. Maybe this is an angle for beard oil or some
right.
sort of your shaving device or something like that. I know how you are with excellence on the sponsor read, but I would just caution you to to survey the whole field. Go through all your options. Go through all your progressions before you go Beardman Brandon for a month and a half.
Jeff's saying there are already enough droughts as it is, and he may be right about that. So we'll see how that goes. Jeff, I hope that you and your family stay nice and safe. I hope everybody stays healthy, and maybe we all take this as an opportunity to kind of, catch up on something, but it be a good book, a Netflix series, or just some other person in your life. Hopefully that'll be a chance to do that. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger today, and I know there'll be a lot of fun storylines for us to touch on coming up in the days ahead. In fact, you've got some really good recruiting-centric stories coming up at DogNation.com over the course of the next couple of days. Stuff about the twists and turns of the 2021 class, just like always and just like normal. So for those who are ready for some of that kind of stuff, can you give us a little bit of a preview for, I know you've written about Marlon Dean as of late, and you've got some other stuff coming up. Just give us an idea of some of that recruiting content you have on the way for us coming up soon at DogNation.com.
Yeah, a few stories. We got something with Travion Henderson coming up on the site today. I know you, some of our Dog Nation Before the Hedges audience got a chance to get a little bit of that conversation with Travion Henderson. Folks, that's the nation's number two running back in the country. You want to look for the new Kendall Milton name, the new Zachary Evans name, the new name to know for the running back pedigree depth chart order at Georgia for the 2021 class. Travion Henderson is certainly right in that mix. We're going to take a look at, you know, what this actually kind of all means big picture with the stories of a few recruits about how the coronavirus has led them to kind of slow up their pace on their recruiting decision. But I will say this. On Sunday, we're going to have a story that I think might be one of the most fun stories I've ever written for Dog Nation, one that made me laugh several times while putting it together. And all I'm going to say is think of Step Brothers. Think of Step Brothers, that movie with Will Ferrell a few years ago. I know Brandon saw it.
Sure.
I know everyone is a fan of those type of movies, but there's a recruiting story regarding the University of Georgia football program that brings to mind the image of the title movie poster from Step Brothers. And that's the little taste I'll give you about that. You should be able to read it on DogNation.com on Sunday.
That's a fun teaser. It gets us thinking about that. And since you mentioned some regular recruiting storylines, the door is open for me now. I ask you one, I guess, real recruiting question, and I do mean this sincerely here. We'll let you go after this. So you mentioned Travion Henderson. The one 2020 storyline that's kind of emerged for me thus far, and apart from all the weird stuff going on with the virus, you know, we just kind of came off, you know, a dead period and some very quiet starts to the 2021 recruiting class for Georgia and most of the SEC teams. But the one storyline that was starting to take shape for me is, because running back is such a need for Ohio State, you know, whether it be what's currently on the roster, the fact that, you know, Master Teague's even dealing with an injury, the fact that Ohio State's had some high-profile misses with its running back recruitment over the last couple of years, it certainly seems like I see the Buckeyes showing up as a factor for a lot of the running backs that I also think of as Georgia targets as well. Is that as real as it seems to my eyes that when Georgia's going after running backs right now, they're having to deal with Ohio State, who has a lot of early playing time to offer? You know, the Buckeyes typically deep with every position group. Right now, they're as thin as I can ever remember them being at the running back spot. That, to me, feels like a real substantial 2021 storyline. Are you noticing that as much as I seem to be?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the Buckeyes were already in the midst of their spring practices, and one of the things that was coming out of that camp, which is what Ryan Day was telling a lot of those key running back recruits, is they don't have enough running backs on campus right now to really function with a fully productive, to give them all the looks they want during spring practice. And they were only adding, I think, one or two backs. They weren't elite backs with their 2020 class. And there's a couple of names. There's Evan Pryor. There's Travion Henderson that Georgia and Ohio State kind of match up with a hierarchy of both schools value those two players. Now, Ohio State also likes Donovan Edwards. That's another guy that Georgia prioritizes as well. That's a guy out of the state of Michigan who Edwards is really tight with Penn State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan as well. And then there's the young man, Kamar Wheaton, out of Texas as well, that Ohio State is. And Brandon, I've been hearing about Ohio State running backs for the last three or four months, I believe, in the 2021 class. You know, Ryan Day was calling guys like Cody Brown, the tremendous running back out of Parkview High School, almost daily. That was back in November and December. They were having, you know, conversations where there was a core of, like, you know, five or six names where Ohio State was putting all the effort in to make sure it landed at least one or two of those elite top five backs. And that's a big cycle where, you know, everybody likes to talk quarterback dominoes. Well, running back dominoes are really going to fall because there's really, like, six guys that everybody in the country wants. That's the Clemsons, that's the Alabamas, that's the Georgias, the Texas, the Oklahomas, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame. And there's about six or seven names that everybody wants. And once one or two or three of those names start filling in slots, then everybody will go down their pecking order as well and maybe drill down on a guy that was, you know, the number three guy on their board, but now is the number one best available guy. That's going to be a very interesting in the 2021 class where a lot of schools are looking to reload with the elite running backs. And this is a pretty good group of running backs, Brandon. I would say that the top five or six running backs in this class, to me, look better than the top five or six running backs from a year ago.
Now that is some football talk. It's good to be able to do that with Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger with Jeff Sintel today. Thanks for providing your insight on that, Jeff. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you this weekend, including what sounds like a really fun piece coming up on the site this weekend. And, of course, we'll talk to you here on our program again very soon as well.
All right, guys. Stay safe, but also stay well. And, hey, maybe watch a Netflix series, play a family board game, or try to go a beard like Brandon. Maybe we can get that catchphrase growing. Beard with Brandon on Dog Nation Daily.
There you go. I like that.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
See, we're spanning the social distance to give you a little recruiting talk there, just like normal. Me worried about Georgia not getting some recruit. Jeff telling me what he knows. I mean, that's like any other day. That could have been any day here on our program. So really good stuff all the way around. Also, let's get ready to go cruise around the SEC, courtesy of our friends at Royal Caribbean. Here's what I know. As I said before, you know, I get excited about future vacations I'm going to be taking, because we're going to be taking vacations and we're going to be having a good time. We're going to be doing all kinds of fun stuff. And the same way that I have loved the idea of being on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship, I can't wait to get a chance to do that again. Can't wait to look forward to a time in which that seems like a really fun thing. And, of course, one of the things that makes a Royal Caribbean cruise so much fun is the entertainment that goes on board the ship, whether it be the Broadway musicals, or Tony Award-winning type stuff, the kind of thing that you have to typically go to Broadway to get. You can get that on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. Also, on the Oasis-class ships, they have the Aqua Theater shows. We have, like, the Olympic-style diving while the ship is moving at sea. You get the ice skating shows. You get the nightlife, all kinds of entertainment. It's been awarded Best Entertainment by Travel Weekly's Reader's Choice Award, so that gives you an idea of the credentials that bat Royal Caribbean here. And it's one of the reasons when you're thinking about some vacation in the future, you need to be thinking about my friends at Royal Caribbean. Contact your travel advisor and say, hey, when can we make this happen? Or let me give you a recommendation here to my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. That'll get you in touch with the Cruise and Vacation Authority. When you're thinking about the future, when you're thinking about things to look forward to in the months to come, a fun vacation on Royal Caribbean cruise, I think it's a great choice there. So contact your travel advisor or the Cruise and Vacation Authority to do that. And by the way, let them know you heard about them with us right here on Dog Nation Daily. All right, Cruise Around the SEC presented by Royal Caribbean. Let me say this real quick. So I was reading this yesterday, and, like, I am not an expert about what I'm about to read to you, but I thought it was kind of interesting. So I guess years ago, the subway system in London had a workers' strike. I think it's called the Tube. I think that's what their subway system is called. And so there's a workers' strike. There's no subway system. So therefore, the commuters in London for that period of time had to make a different choice about how to get to work or get to wherever they were going. And so some social scientists studied this. And here's what they found. So for the people who made their choice of, okay, so my typical subway is not working and I got to work a different way right now. So the social scientists studied this. What they found out is when the strike was over and the tube service started returning again, most everybody else just kind of went back and sort of did things the way they used to. However, according to what I read yesterday, about 10% of the people who changed their commuting habits, when the tube opened back up again, they maintained the change. Now, I think that's kind of interesting. And I think there's also potentially a corollary maybe for what's going on in sports as well. We see a lot of temporary changes in sports right now. But you almost wonder, how many of these changes, stands to reason maybe a portion of them, how many of these changes end up becoming permanent after all is said and done on this? Let me give you, for instance, I have no idea if this is going to happen, but it seems like a possibility. The NBA is not canceled its season as of yet. It's postponed its season. It's delayed its season. There's a chance they're not able to play again this year. That's certainly a possibility. I think some NBA folks are bracing for that as a choice or a chance. But there's also a chance they don't, that it becomes a delayed start to the playoff, a delayed NBA Finals. You already had one of the Hawks executives talking about starting the league on Christmas in some publication a couple of weeks ago. So there's a chance that one of the permanent changes we see to sports is if the NBA plays with a delayed schedule, who's to say they don't try to adopt that delayed schedule for the future? Maybe it doesn't happen, but it's a possible change that could be made. I also think about this within the world of college sports as well, especially on the heels of what happened yesterday, where I think the NCAA made a bad decision. Canceling the spring sports championships now does not feel like a good choice to me. And that's not me saying there's nothing to worry about. I have no idea if there's anything to worry about with the disease. I'm not a scientist, nor will I pretend to be one here. I have no idea what the world's going to look like come June when the College World Series is played. And admittedly, I'm a baseball fan, so that's the sporting event in all of this that I'm the most bothered by to see canceled. But canceling this in June right now just does not seem to make a ton of sense to me. Why not just wait? And I thought it was interesting with that in mind that Greg Sankey goes on the Paul Feinbaum show yesterday, and he at least spoke somewhat inquisitively about the choice that was made here. I'll read from the Baton Rouge Advocate. Obviously, LSU is a huge college baseball town, college baseball university community, so they were writing about this. And the quote from from Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, is this. He says, I hope we can learn more about what informed the NCAA's decision to extend the championship cancellation into spring sports. This is what he said on the Feinbaum show. This is Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. It'll be some important information from us to learn from. I think you, as we make decisions. So it sounds like Sankey, to me, wants to have a different kind of deliberation than what the NCAA had yesterday. And don't get this twisted. There's a chance when all of this is thought about, when all of this is considered, that folks like Greg Sankey and others make the same choice the NCAA made of. Yeah, you know what? We tried our best. We tried to get these guys and gals back on the field. Just nothing can be done. You know, it's just too tenuous of a situation right now. There's a chance that's the choice that ends up being made here. But it sounds like Sankey, at least on the basis of what kind of came out of the SEC network yesterday, maybe some others, it sounds like they would like to reserve the right to make that decision later on, and I don't think they're wrong for that. So you almost wonder, you know, is there something that could potentially go on here that kind of decentralizes some of the decision-making power that's kind of rested with the NCAA in the past? If that were to change here, if that is something that comes out of this, then I think in particular this might end up being a good thing. I think when you look, for those of you that are big college baseball fans, you see a lot of the ways in which the NCAA has kind of ruled on baseball before, and you're just sort of left to scratch your head saying, is this really the best way to run this sport? For instance, they were denied a chance to add an extra assistant coach not all that long ago. The big schools, the SEC schools, were furious about this. You know, guys lost job opportunities because of that decision. It kind of makes you wonder about all of that right now. And, you know, somewhere, somehow, some changes that take place during this crisis are going to be maintained. And lessening the power of the NCAA, if that's something that comes out of this, I'm not quite so sure that's not such a good thing, but there is a long way to go before any of that can truly be determined. To go back to where we started the show this morning, though, with Georgia Athletic Director Greg McGarrity on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, I want to give you one more clip from that because the subject came up of, with these spring sports now canceled, with those seasons, at least in terms of the championships, now over, according to the NCAA, what does this mean for seniors? What does this mean for guys and gals who were looking forward to a year of competition and maybe now in the midst of having played their final time? Is there anything can be done to add eligibility for them? Is there anything that can be done to make that situation better for them? And in light of what we just heard from Sankey, in light of what's going on here, I also think McGarrity's answer to that question of what happens to these seniors, these athletes in their final year of eligibility, I think that's also interesting from 960 The Ref this morning. Take a listen to this.
You know, we had a marker earlier of making another decision by March 30th, but obviously we have not met as a group since the NCAA halted all championships. So how will that affect things? You know, we just are going to get on the phone today and talk through those things and see if there's any way, you know, just see what our options are. But we know that NCAA championship play as we know it is over And I'm sure that Commissioner Sankey will huddle with the other commissioners to also try to have some consistency there, because there's so many things at play as far as recruiting and spring practice. There are just so many things on the table that will need to be discussed, and we're hoping to have some type of consistency in all these measures as we move forward.
I love the wording there from McGarrity. I think seeking out your options, even options apart from the NCAA, I think that makes a lot of sense right now. And I'm glad that people that run the SEC, the people that run the University of Georgia, the people that run the other Power Five leagues, and I think some sort of, is it unanimity? Is that the word I'm looking for? Some sort of unanimity on this is probably important, because, as Jeff said, some people have had some spring practice, some people haven't. Some people, you know, care about, you know, various spring sports more. Some programs care about other spring sports a little bit more. Some sort of like way of kind of leveling all of this, leveling the playing field, you know, no pun intended, probably makes some sense. But what truly does make sense right now is just sort of seeking out every option that's available. Sounds like the SEC wants to lead the way towards doing that, and I think personally that's a very good thing right now. So, yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot to figure out about how all this goes, and, you know, maybe all of this is just gonna, I'm talking about the health stuff. Maybe all of this is just going to be hanging around a little longer than we want it to. Certainly this is going to get old fast in terms of having to deal with some of the things that sports finding itself dealing with. But there is going to be good news. There are going to be people working, whether it be, you know, I even saw, you know, this, some University of Florida scientists are working hard on you know, getting something that may, you know, help pave the way towards a vaccine. In that particular instance, we're huge Florida fans. You know, the Tennessee folks, University of Tennessee, has had some stuff going on. You know, from that standpoint, we'd love to see a breakthrough come from Knoxville as well. We don't want those programs to have success in the SEC East in football season, but in the laboratories, we want them to have success. Y'all, there is going to be good news. We'll find it when it's there, and we're going to tell you about it. It's Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. Gatorator Updater, 1,231 days. We'll see you Monday.